بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للعاملين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، we studied the chapter من الإيمان بالله الصبر على أقدار الله. We said the chapter باب ما جاء في الرياء. And we say the chapter باب ما جاء في الرياء. What is نكر? What does نكر mean? ما يصف الله. So it's permissible to name Allah ناكر. What? I don't think so. So you're in doubt.
No.
It's not permissible. So what is permissible then?
You can only say that Allah is massive with those who try to practice nakr with Him.
Ahsan. What is the connection between Allah? No.
What is
the connection between? Yes. So if you remember, we said that the rahmah of Allah encompasses everything. Therefore, people might depend on the rahmah of Allah so much so that they will not practice what they're supposed to be practicing, yet they are surrounded by bounty. And think this is from the rahmah of Allah, yet they fall into feeling secure from the nakr of Allah. Therefore we have to understand and we have to keep our hearts in check and intact, that even though we believe in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything, yet if we see ourselves having a lot of shortcomings and the bounties of Allah coming on us in any, from all directions, it might be an indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is practicing his nakr with us. Because this is the situation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, when they forgot that they were reminded of, we opened for them the doors of everything. And so they were happy with what they have gotten, at that time they were taken by surprise. So now we understand the connection between Al-Rahmah and the Mahdi. And also Al-Qawm as far as the Tawheed concerned. Al-Qunut, to discount
that fear Allah.
But we should fear a part. Riyadh,
your connection.
We ask for their gratitude. How is gratitude connected to Tawheed?
Gratitude is being grateful.
This is general, meaning specific.
The fact that you're grateful that the calamity came now in this life, because it's like an expiation for some sin. And it's easier to take this calamity here in this life than to have to get it expiated in the next life.
Okay.
So you're grateful that Allah gives it to you now instead of later.
And everything that you get in this life, your sins fall off of you. That's why the leaf of a tree falls off the tree in the hole. How does patience connect this to Tawheed? What is the connection link between patience and Tawheed?
Prayer,
patience, and worshiping
Allah.
Yes, but what is the connection?
If you believe that Allah is your Lord, then you have to accept everything that He has decreed for you.
If you accept it, that means you have to deal with it with patience. So rejecting the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a representation of rejection of Allah being your Lord. Because accepting Allah as your Lord, that means accepting all of the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take good intention, they have to have two criteria to fit the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. Who can give us those two criteria? The action of self must be good. How can we judge if the action is good?
If it's done according to the Sunnah of
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a hadith concerning that fact. Who can tell us the hadith in Arabic? من جعل في أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does something that is not in coherence with our religion is rejected. We can't enter, is not accepted the evidence of that. The meaning of it. Do you remember the meaning of the hadith?
Allah, the Prophet said that Allah said, I forget the beginning, but he said, "Man amila amilan ashraka ma'i fihi ghayri rabbuhu wa shirku."
Hada qareeb min al-ma'na. What is the meaning in English?
That whoever, I am free, I am in no need of anybody associating partners with me. And whoever does a deed and associates partners in it with me, then I shall leave him and ship.
Sometimes it is difficult to remember all the ahadith verbatim. But if we cannot attain the level of memorizing the verbatim of the hadith, the second thing is for the meaning of hadith. Because remembering the meaning always easier than remembering it word by word. Because if you remember the meaning, always you can convey those meanings by your own words. As long as you are sure what you are saying reflects the actual meaning. So you have to remember the meaning of things, at least for us to be able to bring it as to talk about it when we... Okay. So showing our qiyah comes into the ibadah in the middle of the ibadah. What does that mean to the ibadah? Totally in all ibadah.
If the ibadah is connected, then the whole ibadah is connected. If it is connected, then what is known before, so we don't accept anything
else. Very good. You're back to our thing. Having said that, inshaAllah, we have finished. We did not read the issues of this chapter, the chapter of Al-Riya. So we will read the issues and then we move on to the next chapter. Explanation of the verse before we cast. The still other objective. The great issue is that good deed, if it was joined with another, if it was joined other with Allah in any way, is fully rejected. الأمر العظيم في رد العمل الصالح إذا دخله شيء لغير الله تعالى. And this issue is important because sometimes a person who does a good action, but the motive behind this good action is hypocrisy or showing off. Not only this good action is null and void, but the person will be subjected to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this showing off. Because showing off in of itself is a sin. So when a person does an act of worship to show off, his deed will be null and void and he is subject to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can you imagine a person praying, his prayer is not valid and then he's going to be punished for it. And evidence of this statement is what we said, like 3 types of people the hellfire will be ignited with. a knowledgeable person, a master, and a person who used to spend money. Because when they were asked why they did that, they said for the sake of Allah. And it was said to them, no, you are lying. So you used to get the reputation. So the people could speak about you. And then they went to the hellfire. That means an action that is coupled with riyah, not only the action is now avoided, but the person must be subjected to the punishment and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah's absolute self-sufficiency in the reason of the rejection of the Zidin, if it is not natural for him.
Yes. So, we humans, we are in need of partners. Therefore, we accept partnership. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Ghani. He is in no need, self-sufficient from needing any partner.
Another reason is that he is the best than those who are given sharpness, given share in worship.
Can you repeat that again?
Another reason is that he is the best than those who are given share in worship.
No.
The fear
he does not need any partner because he's better than anything else.
The fear the Prophet of Allah had of his companion was but he improved at him.
In chapter 37, it is shirk to perform a deed for worldly reasons. Before we go into the evidence of this chapter, we would like to give an introduction. Deeds are two categories. Deeds that are acts of worship only. And deeds that are not acts of worship. Deeds which are acts of worship only, that means this action can only be performed as an act of worship. Cannot be performed otherwise. An example of that, fasting, Hajj, Salah, Zakat, all those deeds can only be performed as acts of worship. Those deeds which performed as acts of worship, the niyyah behind those deeds is one of the following. First, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evidence of that is in the Hadith al-Qudusi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِأَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا اَفْتَرَبْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My slave does not do anything to come closer to me that is more beloved to me than doing the things that I made mandatory upon him. So from this hadith we know that we do the act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mandatory upon us to come closer to Allah. Another intention is to do the deed to acquire paradise, to go into paradise. When a person has the motive behind his actions is to go to paradise, to enter paradise. That is a valid intention. The evidence of that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, قُلُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Get up for heaven, the width of which skies and earth. One of the companions, Anas ibn Nadr, I believe, he said, O Prophet of Allah, Jannatul arduha as-samawati wal-ard, this is the width of the Jannah. The Prophet said, yes. So this man, he had a bag in it, there was a few dates. He started eating the dates. And then he said, if I'm going to live until I eat all of those dates, it's going to be a long life. A long life. So he flew the day and started fighting until he was killed. So what moved this man for that is to seek paradise. So when we do the action to go into paradise, to go to paradise, that is a correct intention. And also to get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the thawab. We do action for the purpose of getting the reward that is connected with this action. An example of that where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you say 100 times a day subhanallah, Allah will give you 1,000 good deeds and remove from your record 1,000 bad deeds. This is a huge reward a day. By saying subhanallah 100 times a day, you will get 1,000 good deeds and you remove from your record 1,000 bad deeds. So it's really, or it's a big loss if we go about in our days and we do not implement this program in our life. Because it takes us 5 minutes and we get this huge reward. Similar to that, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you say Allahumma astir للمؤمنين والمؤمنات, forgive the believing men and the believing women, you get for every believer a good deed. So can you imagine how many believing men and women have been on the face of the earth? And by saying this statement that lasts maybe 5 seconds, you accumulate all those good deeds. So it's a great loss on our part to go on in 24 hours by eating, sleeping, and doing all of our activities and deprive ourselves from those zikrs that will earn us a lot of good deeds. So we go back to the subject that we say, some actions we do to get good deeds. So those actions that we do to get good deeds, or to get the thawab. So the thawab, for us to do an action to get the thawab, this motive is a correct and appropriate motive. Now pay attention to what I'm going to say next. The thawab of an action could be in this life, and it could be in the year after, and it could be in this life and in the year after. So you might do a good deed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the thawab in this life and in the year after. An example of that is jihad. When people mean jihad, the army that goes on the jihad, they get certain shares of the booty of war. But if there is a group in that army that goes and does some kind of fact by itself, the leader of the army can give this group more booty than others, an extra. So now those people are doing an act of worship, which is jihad, yet they are getting some gain in this life. The evidence of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, or the hadith says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يُنَفِّلُ بَعْضَ مَنْ يَبْعَثُ مِنَ السَّرَايَا لِأَنْفُسِهِمْ خَاصَّةً سِوَى قَتْلِ عَامَّةِ الْجَيْشِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give to some of the saraya, the dressed group of the jinn, he will use to give them some booty to themselves, other than what the rest of the army gets. Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, is one of the major scholars in Islam, says, as Ibn Hajar reported in Fath al-Bari, he said, بعض المقاصد الخارجة عن نقض التعبد لا يقبح في الإخلاص. بعض المقاصد الخارجة عن محض التعبد لا يقدح في الإخلاص. Some of the goals that are not strictly the ta'abbud, the act of worship, those goals do not hinder or defy the sincerity. Another hadith that will shed some. So what that means, what we have said, is that the deed that you do as an act of worship, and the motive behind this deed is to enter paradise, come closer to Allah, and to get the thawab. If that thawab comes to you in the world in a materialistic way, that does not mean there is a deficiency in our sincerity. Does that mean this, the thawab of this action comes in this life and it comes in the year after? A hadith that will bring this issue clearly. عن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من غازية أو سرية تغدو فتغنم وتسلم إلا كانوا قد تعجلوا في شيء جورهم وما من غازية أو سرية تصفقوا وتصابوا إلا تم أجورهم. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith, any group that they go on an expedition and they are saved and they get some booty, this sariya has took two-thirds of their reward. Two-thirds of their reward. But whatever a sariya, a group of the army, goes and they're not successful and they were attacked, Allah will give them their reward complete. So that hadith tells us the sariya who gets some of the reward in this life, that means they got part of it, and the other part will get on the day of judgment. But the sariya that did not get any reward in this life, they're going to get their full reward on the day of judgment. So from this understanding, we say, when a person does an act of worship for the sake of Allah, for the sake of entering paradise, yet he knows that this action will get him some worldly gain, but this worldly gain is the thawab, that is alright, that is okay in Islam. But if a person, and here's the issue, if a person does an action of worship and his intention behind this action is to get paid or to get some materialistic gain, this is his intention, then his intention is null and void and his action is null and void. So if you understand this difference, you will be able to monitor yourself that this action is done for the sake of Allah. But you know that Allah might reward you for this action in this life and in the year after. And there's a major difference with that and the person who does the action purposely for the sake of getting the materialistic reward. Therefore, an example, a person who seeks knowledge to get money out of it. He said, I'm going to seek knowledge for me to be an imam, I get a salary and that's fine. His effort in seeking knowledge is not sincere. But whoever takes money for the purpose of seeking knowledge, he wants to use this money to finance his education. That is a good action. So you see the difference between a person who is seeking knowledge for the money or the person who is taking money to finance his seeking knowledge program. So this is what we have thought about deeds that are acts of worship only. Now there are deeds that are not acts of worship. But they could be an act of worship with a proper intention. And it could be an act of habit. An example of that, tijara, trade. Buying and selling is not an act of worship. People can buy and sell for the purpose of getting some materialistic gain. And this is acceptable in Islam, to buy and sell to get some materialistic gain. But this buying and selling could be an act of worship with a proper intention. That the person is buying and selling for him to get sufficient funds to make himself live, to spend on his family, to spend on his children, and to give money for the poor and to finance the da'wah. So with a proper intention, this action, which is not an act of worship, becomes an act of worship. Another very on-the-target example is the example of when a person appeases his desire with his wife. That, for many